quite a few. Well, just about every item that I do have in there that is from cases has stories associated with them. The one that everybody seems to really zoom in on is the idol, and that's the black statue that's up on the site.
All right.
And that in detail, a young man, he was about 16 years old, that got into practicing black magic, Satanism, the whole nine yards. He didn't think conjuring or doing any of these things would actually do anything because he didn't believe any of it existed.
Okay.
Anything would actually happen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he exists. It does happen. And the young man had major problems. Couldn't eat, couldn't sleep, couldn't function. The family was totally terrified over the whole situation.
Okay.
And what finally prompted them to do something is that he was to the point where he was going to try and kill himself because he couldn't take hearing the voices telling him to kill himself anymore.
Oh, my goodness.
That's when we basically got involved. At that point in time is when he was explaining to me that whatever it was he conjured up or whatever he brought forth was actually residing within the statue.
Okay.
And he swore up and down that the statue was speaking to him.
Oh, my God.
So a lot of times when people do different types of things like that, can they send energy, some type of spirit, towards an item? Yes.
Okay.
And this was one of those types of situations where I think it did actually happen.
I've heard people refer to that. I've read certain books here and there where people take objects like we're talking about and what they do is through some sort of spell or whatnot, I don't really know what the process would be exactly, they would charge the item, so to say, kind of like charge it with some type of energy, more or less. That's one of the terms I've heard it used as. And I know that people, obviously there are tons of artifacts, they're all over the world. I'm sure you have the most concentrated collection with yourself, though, on the whole planet of these type of items. And one of the things that, I mean, that's always concerned me, like I said before, with that little, we stopped at an antique shop on the way here, on the way back home today, and that's what I kept saying to myself the whole way through as I walked through a couple of these antique shops, that I was looking for things, honestly, that kind of had more of a dark look to them. That, I guess that's just my nature, so to say. But
Batman and Robin and
that was just cool. That was just cool. I had to get that. That just looked neat. That was just a cool picture.
Okay.
Well, I hope those hope the painting's not possessed or the picture.
Yeah, from swinging across the ceiling and stuff on me. I don't know if I can handle that. It was actually this really goofy like picture, just some random picture I paid like $2 for, and it's got a couple of gentlemen that are just dressed up like Batman and Robin. They're just ordinary guys. They're not actors or anything like that. It's just some goofy. I don't know what the meaning of it is, but
If when you come out of the bedroom into the main area every morning and it's turned around or upside down or something and you keep straightening it every day, you'll know something.
There may be something wrong with
it.
Now, one of the things I've noticed is that, well, especially from, going through your site and stuff like that, is that a lot of it's most notable that a lot of the objects that you have, a lot of the things that you have, they're attached to things with more of a negative nature. Is that what you kind of look into more or less as far as like maybe like demonology or witchcraft or something like that? Is that like your central area of focus with these particular things?
I try not to have it that way, but unfortunately that's the way my career ended up going. With a lot of the negative cases and a lot of the heavier duty type situations, that's a lot of times what I get involved with, especially, with dealing with a lot of different clergy people, dealing with a lot of the different organizations. When people come up against things, they're not sure what to do or how to be able to help the people, a lot of times I'll get a phone call. And that's how I end up getting involved with it. But, Scott, there's a lot of items also that are in the museum that I believe have just human spirit attachments at one point or another.
Yeah, yeah.
A good for instance, is an old pump sewing machine from the late 1800s. A young lady inherited it. It was her great-grandmother's. She brought it home. She put it in her house. She decorated it like a little table and stuff, and she swore up and down she seen her grandmother standing by it.
Wow.
Well, this totally freaked this young lady out, and I told her, I said, well, that's not anything bad. That's not anything negative if your grandmother appeared. And she said to me, John, I don't care if it's family members or who it is. I don't want no ghosts in the house, period. I want the sewing machine out of the house.
Oh, my goodness.
So, a lot of times I'll come up to situations like that where, an item might not necessarily have a negative energy or spirit attached to it. It's just that people get very, very scared, and once that scare factor goes into place, they're afraid to have the item around them anymore.
Well, yeah. Well, that right there, I mean, we talk about this a lot on the show here. It's just that. If somebody mentions something like that, don't you think that might might be a factor within that where, well, okay, let's say I get an iron. You know, somebody might, mm-hmm. I get an iron, so I'm not saying it came from a relative, so I just come in contact with, like, an old iron, let's just say.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody
mm-hmm.
says, yeah, this iron was part, you know, was in, this iron, okay, this is great. This iron was used to batter, by some woman to batter her husband to death, right? Which, you know, that doesn't sound very positive, I know, just for example purposes, but the woman actually used this iron to just, you know, knock her husband out because she just hated the guy's guts or whatever. Now, right there, somebody's planted a seed, for example, in me, where I'm like, whoa, that thing's kind of creepy.
So now you're in psychology mode.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know? Just like,
but you have to be in this work. You have to be, you have to realize, I call it planting the seed.
Okay.
Once the seed gets planted in somebody's mind that you're either in a haunted house or you have a haunted item,
mm-hmm.
or this person's a witch, this person is this or that, the power of suggestion comes into play.
Yeah, exactly.
But what ends up happening, not always, but what ends up happening is the power of recognition and the power of bringing something forth. That's what ends up happening a lot of times.
Okay.
Because I'll be honest with you, certain items that I do have, I will say it to the people, I do not believe that they're is a problem with the particular item. It just seems to be where everything lined up. And it's the usual that I usually hear. Either you take it out of the house or I'm throwing it out of the house. I mean, I hear this a lot of times from people.
Okay.
And it's the power of suggestion. So here again, with certain items, not all of them, but certain items, will I question to say, do I think there was energy or spirit attachment to it? It's possible.
Mm-hmm.
That's why a lot of times I always state things as allegedly.
Okay.
Because sometimes we just don't know that. But the fear factor got put into place, so therefore, to try and calm down a situation, the best thing you can do is to remove the item.
Okay. And that all seems to line up, too. That makes a whole lot of sense. I've never really heard it put in that manner before, though. Most of the time, like I said before, I mean, and we say this weekly on the show, and if you want to see ghosts, I'll show you ghosts. You want to go somewhere and look at ghosts, I'll take you anywhere you want, and I'll tell you a story about this place and
psych you up,
and psych you up,
you'll see everything.
And you'll see all types of things. Now, generally, the approach I know we have on that is like, okay, look, we have to remain objective here and not let these stories get to us. We need to come in here and document, cut things down to the hard line, get numbers and, you know, all kinds of zeros and ones to back up what we may have heard or saw.
Well, that's tougher.
That's
getting
way
the data.
Tougher, yeah.
Yeah.
But what you're saying is that it, along with the power of suggestion, there is this power of recognition that comes into play.
Well,
also,
the thing is, I mean, and I've got in my own childhood, I have an example of that. The neighbor lady
uh-huh.
down the street from me
yeah.
had gone to a. If I have a story, I think everybody must have a story like this.
Okay? Oh, yeah, yeah.
But this is a really cool one. This neighbor lady, nicest lady on the planet, went and she loves garage sales.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to have been all of, like, six
mm-hmm.
or so. And she went to a garage sale, bought a shrunken head. She thought it was the coolest looking thing on the planet,
head.
A shrunken head.
Okay.
Of course, you know, the people who sold it to her at the garage sale said, you know, this is an actual shrunken head from, like, I don't know, pick a foreign country in the Philippines or the or you know the Caribbean or something like that,
uh-huh.
or maybe Africa. But this is a real shrunken head. It's not just like an apple
mm-hmm.
that you let shrink. You know,
yeah.
This is a real shrunken head. So that she thought it was the like coolest thing on the planet. She bought it
mm-hmm.
and took it home for like 3 weeks. A long series of really bad things happened to her oldest son.
Okay.
She attributed it to the shrunken head,
mm-hmm.
drove back to the house that had the garage sale,
mm-hmm.
and put it in the mailbox and left.
Oh, no.
Because she didn't
No,
think,
I've heard of people doing this.
She didn't
yeah.
Think, yeah, she didn't think she could just burn it or bury it or throw it away. She thought, for some reason, if this kind of stuff is going on, you start talking, you know, and you say, oh, yeah, I bought the shrunken head, and it's real or it's supposed to be real, and all these bad things are happening to Rick, and oh, my gosh, the shrunken Pinhead curse, right? So everyone was in agreement, and of course nobody was any paranormal expert. I'm old, right? Nobody was any experts in paranormal. There were a few, but you couldn't contact them or anything.
Yeah.
So what happened was everybody had just figured, oh well, you have to return it to who you got it from. You can't just burn it or bury it, you know. So they not only attributed something to this knick-knack, they also had to dream up a method of disposal because they attached this huge story to it through just talking about it.
And it's the same thing as an area. When you go to an area, like I just said, I mean, there is a psychology, like you said, John, that lines everything up.
Mm-hmm.
And another question I do have, John, could it possibly be this psychology that we have going on here, this adrenaline you may have pumping about an object, namely right now, that may help the spirit allegedly manifest or do these certain things that it does, whatever they do in the situation? Do you think that this psychology, this energy that the person, I mean a human being, throws off, do you think that may have part of the equation, so to say?
Absolutely. That can come into play very, very fast.
Okay.
Because once the power of suggestion, the power of recognition is given, you definitely can have spirit activity start to happen, and it can manifest from an individual that picked up an item.
Okay.
But there's one thing that you brought up that I'm very, very nervous with, and that's anybody burning items.
Okay.
Because if you burn anything, anything that could possibly be attached to an item can gravitate right towards you. I always recommend that people either bury the items or throw them into a body of water if they're possibly able to, because that can release something or breaking something. If there is legitimately something attached to an item, you break it or you burn it, it can gravitate right towards the individual that does it. And that's what they wait for. They wait for situations like that to happen.
Well, what is fire? I mean, we're burning things. I mean, what does fire have to do?
It sounds like water insulates, but
okay.
Other forms of destruction cannot do that, which is interesting.
Well, the biggest thing is, you're absolutely right, water can insulate, but my biggest theory behind that is, and you're going to laugh at this, is that it gets it away from people.
Oh, okay.
And,
well, it makes sense, though. Geez, it makes sense.
You know, if somebody is so petrified of something and they're not in an area where I can get to them or something, you know, I'll always recommend that to them. And the biggest thing is, the insulation is a very powerful and very strong aspect to it, but the whole thing is to get rid of the item, tie rocks to it just so it sinks, and it can't cause anybody else any more problems.
Well, yeah, if you take an item, like you just said, and throw it in a body of water, sink it to the bottom, give it concrete socks, so to say, and put it to the bottom of the whatever body of water you're at, as opposed to going in your backyard and burning it, you're not really getting it away from you by doing that. It's still relatively close, in my opinion.
Here's the whole thing. When you do that, you're in the proximity where you're burning an item, or you're breaking an item, you're right there.
Yeah.
You're right there when this is transpiring.
Mm-hmm.
That's the key factor. And if there is something with that item, it's going to gravitate right towards the person that's doing it. That's why I always recommend for a person never to do those two things.
Never to destroy the item. Well, it is. I mean, it does. If we think of an item of whatever it is, you know, the haunted ghostly talk table, or you know, or whatever it may be, the haunted microphone or something like that. If we look at it a certain way, as it's embodying a spirit like a human being, like a human body does the same thing, and obviously when the human body is damaged beyond repair, so to say, where the body ceased to function, theoretically a spirit or some type of energy could be released. It's the same thing with one of these objects, from what
I'm understanding. Absolutely, and that's a fantastic analogy of it. Fantastic.
Well,
that's a good
you.
Way to put it.
Thank you. I don't do that very often, John. I really appreciate hearing that.
You drew a parallel.
I usually go on like a three-hour tangent on something, and it makes no sense whatsoever. And by the end of that, I forgot what I was talking about in the first place.
Well, I don't know, dude. You make good sense with that one.
Cool. I'm glad to hear that. But and that's very interesting too, because I mean, there's a lot. Obviously, I mean, just in the haunted winery here, there's objects everywhere.
It's weird, too, everywhere. Because about 3 weeks ago, I did a haunted winery, too, up here in the New England area.
Oh, a real winery.
As opposed to a dubbed winery.
We just turned, I don't even know where it came from, but you actually went to a real winery, though?
Yeah, they kept hearing spirits in there, and they had all kinds of activity going on. All the employees were having experiences, et cetera, and we got involved with doing an investigation up there, and we were able to actually communicate and document on audio and video the voice of the woman and some of the sounds that she was making in regards to some of the things that were happening on this piece of property.
Really?
And once that was, you know, established and everything, we were able to basically come down to the point of knowing it was the woman that was causing the haunting, and it wasn't really the husband, because they thought it was the husband. And come to find out, she was the more forceful figure behind the whole piece of property. And there were just certain things that she wasn't comfortable with. And here's what's even more bizarre, is that during our investigation and everything, I had gone down and spoken to the owner, and there were certain items that had belonged to this woman. And I said, for some reason or another, I said, this woman seems to be centralizing around these certain items. And I said, I don't know. I said, I don't know what the whole story is with those items. And it was the craziest, bizarrest thing. The owner turned and looked at two other people, and they just got done talking about 2 weeks prior to auctioning off the items.
Oh, wow.
Now, how freaky is that? Yeah, and I had no idea about this, who the items belonged to, where they came, you know, nothing. And we were just talking, and I looked at him and I said, well, dude, if I were you, I'd just leave her stuff alone.
Don't touch it. Leave it there.
It's funny, too, because the owner's wife had said the same thing. She said, I just prefer to leave them where they are. They're not in our way or anything. So, and that's when I said to him, I says, well, obviously she doesn't want you getting rid of her personal items, so I would just leave them up there.
That raises an interesting idea, though, too, because, I mean, I've talked to many different people that say, well, you know, when you pass on and you cease to be functioning inside the mortal coil, so to say, you know, worldly possessions mean nothing. You walk away from those things. You don't need to worry about those things anymore. No matter how precious it was to you, they're gone. That's something you don't concern yourself with anymore. And that leads into the other idea where there are these people, and this may explain the whole phenomena of hauntings right here, that are so attached to being alive, that want to be alive so much that they miss life on this plane of existence, that they attach themselves to these particular objects, like these certain things we were just talking about. That's what I've seen it, and don't go against anything at all. It makes perfect sense. But
absolutely.
That backs it up a lot, though, what you're just saying right there. There are these people that seem like they may still they don't want to let go. They're making themselves stuck, it seems like. They don't want to let go of these certain things, and like these objects you're talking about. It really, really makes it kind of all come together, John.
Well, it really, really does, because when you get involved with that and you start, you know, going through things, you're doing your EVPs, you know, you're documenting your cold, your hot spots, and you pull all this evidence together, and then you have other things that come into play with this. It's a perfect example, and it was just the way the whole thing unfolded, where, I mean, you know, the woman and the husband weren't walking around. We didn't see them. Nobody, you know, experienced anything hardcore in this investigation, but yet what unraveled is what I refer to as our paranormal realm. Yeah. Everything unraveled where she got her message across. One way or another, she was determined where she was going to get her message across, that she didn't want her things touched or sold off. Mm-hmm. And ironically, things calmed way down in the winery.
Wow.
Activity calmed right down after that. And the guy was hardcore, let me tell you. This guy, he did not believe in the paranormal, ghost, nothing, until he experienced something. And then, you know, later on it was like, if I wasn't part of this, I wasn't here, I didn't see everything that transpired, he says, I still would never believe this. He said, but now, he says, I don't have a choice. He says, I can't explain what you guys did or said or how you proved some of this out. And I said to him, I said, well, guess what? I says, I can't prove some of it. I can only tell you what transpired.
Exactly. I mean, because it is all theories.
A lot of times that's what happens. You can show, even today, you can show somebody all these photos and all this data, mm-hmm. and listen to the recordings, but ultimately they have to make up their own mind,
mm-hmm.
because it's not E equals MC squared. You know, nobody pulled it down into, you know, we don't have an Einstein of the paranormal yet. To put it all into a formula and say, this explains everything.
And that's the hardest thing about doing this particular thing, is just that.
But that's why we got to pull people, you know, we got to get people like John Zaffis, mm-hmm. and ghost hunters everywhere, mm-hmm. and all these people. We've got to get all the, you know, experiences and talk about them.
Well, yeah. And it's through experiences you can develop statistics then.
Right.
And find the patterns through
that. And start trying to find patterns.
But right now, unfortunately, the hardest part, and it's that we go through it all the time. I'm sure you just did, John, right there. You can't give them a black and white answer. You can't give them a definite answer.
I can't give them anything 100% concrete.
No.
And, you know, I know that with most of investigating. We just do this, and the things that come through, we even walk away, say sometimes, you know, that was the freakiest type of situation,
mm-hmm.
but there was a reason why it happened.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly.
And, you know, it helps to resolve things, but you know as well as I do, still you have people that'll stand there and look at you and go, you made that up. Or, mm-hmm. you know, your people came up with this, or somebody told you something. I mean, those are the types of things you go through with investigating, and we all deal with that.
Yeah.
But, you know, like I said, I started back, you know, when you didn't bother to check things. You weren't looking for EVPs. You weren't checking for hot and cold spots. We didn't have the infrared and everything. Today we do.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the researchers that work with me, they use all this type of equipment and everything. And when they document the things and they get these things when there's activity happening,
mm-hmm.
to me that's fantastic. There we are. It's documented proof that this is exactly happening.
And you're
unfortunately, we go into a lot of investigations, mm-hmm. and you can't get your hardcore evidence. It just doesn't happen.
And you're in
a great spot, John. Haunted.
I was just thinking about this. I mean, you've had the privilege of watching this stuff progress, though. I mean, over three decades yourself, you've seen it come from like point A to point B. You're really lucky, John. That's what I'm thinking.
I'm very fascinated. Very, very fascinated with watching what everybody can do today. Sitting down and, you know, when I see everybody loading the EVPs into the computers and cleaning up them and hearing some of the voices that are coming through.
Isn't that cool? I think that's the most amazing stuff, too.
It is like the craziest, wildest thing. Now, here's the craziest thing. Over all these years, do you know I've never gotten one EVP in my life?
Really?
I don't get EVPs.
Okay, John, I've never seen a ghost either.
Why.
I've never seen a ghost myself. Everybody I know has seen a ghost, but I've never seen one. In the years I've been doing this, I've never seen one. And your career is eclipsing mine. So, but I've never seen a ghost either. So, I mean, we're in the same boat as far as that's concerned. Now, we have picked up EVPs. We have.
We've actually been two of the neatest EVPs. When Scott and I were present.
Yeah.
We weren't actually doing the recording, though, for these really, really...
Somebody else's recording.
Yeah, EVPs that we get tend to be... You know,
yeah, funny sounds.
Funny sounds. But crystal clear girl saying, you know, I want to go.
Yeah, saying things.
Scott L. and I were present at that. And then, of course, the Me Too, we were present, but it was someone else doing the recording.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, here
again, too, what I've found with the EVPs, too, it depends on the group. Depends on who you have in the group, who is there. Certain times, certain groups of people will get these phenomenal EVPs. You break that group up, or you have other people intermingle with it, and it totally distracts the whole way the EVP communication takes place.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
By trial and error, you learn a lot of these different things on what will or what won't happen.
Mm-hmm. I know we were just running EVPs last night, as a matter of fact, John, and one of the things I've learned to do as far as recording goes is, I mean, I pretty much document every little sound. When I say document, I literally go take the recorder, put it to my mouth, and go, okay, for example, last night, I'm hearing dripping around us. There's water dripping and stuff like that. So when you hear this sound, and I let it go for a second, and then I say, okay, look, that's not anything weird. That's just water dripping. We can explain that. Or if somebody, I bumped the recorder on my keys that hang off my belt loop last night. And I said, oops, sorry, you were right there, Doug, when you saw that. I bumped the keys on there. So that's a really good method, I think, to really kind of separate all the sounds to know what's what. And, obviously, I mean, if you're not doing that, in my opinion, and something does come through, you might mistaken it for me, like I said, bumping something against my keys or something like that. You never know. We've all heard them. I know you've heard them, John. And some of these voices are very strange. They come through digitized sometimes, and that's not by any manipulation either. They just come through that way. They come through very faint.
I mean, here's a good story. You'll love this one.
Okay.
Did you ever hear of Sachs Bridge in Gettysburg?
Absolutely.
We searched for it.
Yeah.
We drove around.
Listen, you should have been with the old man here. Anyways, listen.
We were on the cell phone to my brother in Lansing saying, get on the internet and look.
Yeah, we couldn't find it.
We couldn't find it anyway.
I got to hear this, John. What went down?
All right. Yeah, I intermingle with a lot of groups. There was three groups of us, three different organizations, and we all decided we were going down there for a weekend. I go down there all the time. I enjoy going down there.
Gettysburg is
a
great place.
We got it mapped out where Sachs Bridge was. So it was like 2 o'clock in the morning, and everybody says, okay, fine, we're going to Sachs Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
So 28 of us go out there. It's a distance.
Yeah.
And we're out there. We get the cameras, everything set up, recorders, blah, 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 blah. We had this one woman that was with us, and she went into the different songs, you know, with battle and stuff
that.
Oh,
how nice.
Okay.
And, I mean, you know, she just let loose with this whole thing, and I'm standing there going, cool. You know, if the spirits are around, this is going to attract them.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, she does this whole thing, and we're all there. We were there maybe about an hour and a half, and the wackiest, craziest thing happens is this fog starts rolling in.
Okay.
Comes across, goes all the way through, engulfs the bridge. We're on the roads. We're on the bridge. We're everywhere.
Uh-huh.
This whole thick fog rolls in. We look across. And there's this one field across. You see orange lights. Then you hear booms. Then you hear people.
Mm-hmm.
Then you hear all these different sounds. Well, you guys know as well as I do, we're all looking at each other going, okay, who staged this whole thing?
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, and we're all standing there, and I'm like looking around, and I'm going, well, wait a minute. We're all here, so who the heck's out there?
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, this whole thing takes place for about 10, 15 minutes, and then the fog rolled out as fast as it came in. And I stood there, and I looked at everybody. I says, I've heard these stories. I says, credible people have told me stories about these things happening. I said, but this is the first time in 32 years I've ever witnessed anything like it.
And this happened right in front of your eyes. This happened right there in front of you.
In front of 28 people, and I must have had about 10 of them that were skeptics. Well, they weren't skeptics after that night.
Well, yeah, no kidding.
But, no, and now here's the craziest part.
Okay.
And it still drives me nuts to this day. No one got EVPs during it.
Mm-hmm.
No one was able to video it.
Nothing. I mean, were people actually like people? I assume somebody had their camera on. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, as soon as this whole thing happened in this field across the way, I'm saying, get your cameras on. Get your cameras on.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody had everything rolling. No sounds got picked up. No EVPs got picked up. Nothing got picked up on video.
Now that's strange.
That was the strangest of strange. But afterwards, after the fog rolled out, you know, the stars came back out, the whole nine yards, they started picking up EVPs like crazy.
Oh. See, maybe you can't have one without the other, you know, visual. You get visual, you can't hear it. You hear it, you can't see it. I mean,
exactly.
Who knows?
That was my theory.
Uh-huh.
I said we all visually and audibly heard what was happening. Everybody in that group experienced it.
Mm-hmm.
But then afterwards, it was to the point where everybody just looked at each other and nobody could believe that this whole thing transpired.
Okay.
And it was just the craziest, wildest thing. Then everybody split up and they were doing their EVPs,
mm-hmm.
and it was the wildest, wildest thing. The following night,
mm-hmm.
half of the group had gone back.
Yeah.
They weren't able to get anything whatsoever.
Wow. Well, 28 people, though.
It was extremely bizarre.
I mean, power in numbers. I mean, we generally try to keep our groups smaller. But, I mean, it sounds like you had a situation where things just worked well for you. You had 28 people standing there watching this thing go down. Absolutely. That's a whole lot of people. I mean, I'm sure
it's unheard of.
It's unheard of. Well, they have that many people to say, okay, look, we all saw exactly this thing, and I haven't interviewed them obviously, but if they were to all go, yeah, we saw this orangish light, we heard all these sounds, we saw this fog roll in, and if everybody was to describe that to a T, I mean, to me, that's a pretty solid piece of evidence, in my opinion. But I know there's a lot of people out there that still wouldn't go for that.
Absolutely.
But as a ghost hunter, I know I'd be like, well, geez, you know, I really think something happened out there, guys. I don't know what it was, but something definitely happened out there.
That's my opinion.
We went to Gettysburg last
September. Something happened, but I don't know what.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what happened. We did a little bit of research. A couple of the other people did. And supposedly, in that one area,
yeah,
from across where the bridge was, where there supposedly there was part of a battle fought right there.
Okay,
so, you know, you got to take that into consideration. But it was just the way the whole thing played out. And
yeah,
that there was 28 witnesses to this whole thing.
Yeah,
that's what was so bizarre about the whole thing.
So generally, we try to keep groups the smaller the better, in our opinion. But something like that, you guys totally had the right situation for that. You know,
mm-hmm,
to have that many people there to see something like that happen right in front of your eyes, that is staggering. It's very staggering to see something like that. There is one thing I wanted to ask you, John. There is a question I had for you, and this has to do with objects again. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've talked about a few objects already, and a lot of them, you know, I did mention that to you, like, you know, there's negative things. Is it all negative? And obviously it isn't all negative. My mother, okay, unfortunately, my grandmother passed away about 13 years ago, okay? Actually, about 12 years ago. And to this day, I know I've mentioned this on the show before briefly, but my mother tells me this story that she has this little toy box. I think it's a figurine, but it has like a little bell inside of it too.
Okay.
It's just like something you can ring the little bell if you want. It's just a little toy,
mm-hmm,
and it belonged to my grandmother. Okay. And my mom tells me that she still does this to this day. That whenever she has a really hard decision to make, something that's really really difficult for her to get through, she'll sit down in her bed, and she'll think about it. And when she thinks about one of the decisions she has to make, the bell will ring. Okay?
Okay.
And then my mom just knows in her heart, she's like, that's the right decision to make. My mother says it's the correct decision to make. It's obviously an object. I don't think it's a negative thing at all. I mean, my mother's very happy to have that.
Are you kidding me? That's the farthest thing from a negative.
Yeah, it's really great. That's why I wanted to bring that up.
That's a positive, and that's a beautiful story.
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, my mom told me that, and I'm like, that's really neat, Mom. And it's not a negative thing at all. It's a really nice thing. And, you know, it's all theoretical. We know that. We all know
right.
that. I mean, my mom don't lie. She don't lie. And she thinks I'm insane. That's why she told me that story, because she knows I'd be very interested in it. But it is. It's a very cool story, along with being something right along the lines of what we're talking about here tonight. It isn't a negative thing, though. It's a very positive thing.
Here's what a lot of people have a hard time gripping, and I preach on this something terrible these days. You know, everybody says, I want to talk to my grandmother. I want to talk to my mom, my dad. And, you know, I'm communicating with them. I'm doing everything that I can, blah, 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 blah. You don't have to. They're there.
Yeah.
They're around us all the time. You know, they're not going to come up and smack us in the head. They're not going to start screaming and hollering. They're there, and the signs are very, very subtle. I always believe that, and I'm always going to believe in that, you know, the people that were close to us when they were alive, they're still around. They still communicate one way or another with us to let us know they're around to help us out.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of those situations, I think. I do believe that
absolutely.
Is one of those situations, and I believe my mom, too, obviously, that she's sincere about that. If I said I didn't, she'd probably slap me in the face next time I saw her.
But why would you have any reason to disbelieve her? I mean, it sounds like a story that many of us have heard,
know. Yeah, so it's just a little thing, little doll type thing with a little bell in it. And just ding, just a little ding.
And then she knows she's thinking about the right decision.
Yeah, just,
see,
just
that's awesome.
Yeah, oh, I think it's. I wish I had something cool like that around here, but I don't. I just have like toys and stuff laying around. And
video games.
And yeah. Yeah, those aren't very haunted from what I've found. I can't really find. I haven't found a haunted like Atari 2600 yet. If anybody has one, please let me know. I want to check it out. Why don't we take a quick break, though? Okay, John? Let's just chill out for a minute here. We're all pretty burnt out here, so, and we're all, I can feel my voice just like going away as we speak. So I'm going to take a break myself just to get something, just to drink something. Why don't we all just chill out here for a minute? Willa, are we ready to go here?
Yep.
Let's just drop out for a second. John, we'll be right back. Everybody,
okay.
Just chill. It's been hectic, but we're and you know what? This is great. I'm so happy to have John here. We'll be right back.
We'll be back.
Indiana Ghost Tracker, www.indianaghost.org, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk.
Passion by